It's HBR, All Things Considered, and I'm Dave Lawrence. Grateful you're here with us, and today sending off another treasured guest, Neil Sedaka, legendary teen idol from the late 50s, early 60s, who went on to have a big comeback in the 70s thanks to Elton John. Neil Sedaka was 86 and passed last Friday. He was our guest twice over the years, and we'll hear highlights of both, starting with the first chat from 2016 ahead of an area concert.
There were sacrifices it looked like your mom made. Other ways, she really nurtured your career.
Well, I had a very happy childhood. My mother and father were very loving people. They encouraged me. At first, I wanted to be a concert pianist, but they were very supportive when I started writing the pop music and recording my own songs.
Getting you involved with that Juilliard School of Music Saturday program for kids?
I won a competition. I'm glad you brought it up. I was about 16. Radio station WQXR in New York, which had something called Musical Talent in New York High Schools. And Arthur Rubinstein, the great pianist, chose me as the best pianist in the New York City high school system, and I played the third piano sonata of Prokofiev. I played the G minor ballade of Chopin and Reflet dans l'eau of Debussy.
You were in like your second grade choral class, I've read, and you made such an impression on a teacher that they suggested in a note to your mom that you begin piano lessons. I mean, I can't even remember second grade, but at that point you somehow were giving off a sign, yeah?
Yes, Dave. There was a choral teacher, and she was conducting the whole auditorium, and she saw my reaction to the music and got me up to conduct the auditorium. I was about 8 years old, and she sent me home with a note for my parents to buy a piano. And my father was a taxi driver. It was out of the budget. So my mom took a job as a saleswoman in a department store in New York. She raised $500 for a secondhand upright piano.
Hence the reason I started by giving your mom credit, because I think it's awesome.
Thank you. Yes, she was a great lady.
I'm wondering, was it your songwriting at the Brill Building that introduced you to Carole King in high school, or is it just coincidence that you'd be dating another Brill Building songwriter so young in life?
Carole and I dated in school. She was at neighboring high school, and Howard Greenfield and I were the first to signed to Alden Music at the Brill Building, and I brought Carole King up to the publishing firm. They signed her immediately. As a matter of fact, her tapestry inspired me to do the album Sedaka's Back, and she will be the first to say James Taylor inspired her to write Tapestry.
What was it like being a teen idol? I mean, that was almost the first wave of such a thing, huh, in the late 50s, early 60s?
A thrill of a lifetime. It was an American dream. I used to watch American Bandstand, Dick Clark's show, where they had kids dancing from Philadelphia, and I used to run home from school to watch it. And lo and behold, I was on in 1958 with a hit record called The Diary. So it was an unbelievable experience being a teenage idol in the beginning of rock and roll. It was Elvis, Roy Orbison, Buddy Holly, Fats Domino.
Did you get to meet those cats?
I sure did. As a matter of fact, Elvis invited my wife and I when he was performing in Vegas a few years before he left us. He recorded my song Solitaire on the Memphis album. And I went backstage and he said, in Germany when I was in the army, I always played your records on the jukebox because I admired a high tenor voice. Being a baritone, he admired the high tenor voice.
Is that the only time you got to be with the king?
It was the only time, and he gave my wife a scarf, which he has to this day. He said, you know, I'm going to give you the scarf because it matches your dress. But, you know, I have a record of him recording Solitaire, and it's an outtake, and he says on it, "I'm going to kill Neil Sedaka for these high notes."
That's got to be really precious. Some of your earliest work charted in Italy and inspired some actual Italian language songs, plus Spanish, German, Hebrew, Japanese, French, Canadian.
Well, thank you for that, Dave, for remembering. Not many people know that I sang in all those languages. Japanese was the easiest. German was the most difficult. But, you know, I did have my own songs translated into Italian. And then I had Italian writers write for me. So in 1963-64, I sold about 3 million records in Italy, in the Italian language. And I used to get out on the stage and say, "Scusate se non parlo bene italiano. Sono molto contento di cantare le mie canzoni per voi." That's all I could say. Thank you for coming, and I hope you enjoy my songs.
In 2019, another show in the islands brought Neil Sedaka back to Hawaii for what would be our final time speaking.
Just last month, I see you posted what looks like a recent picture with Sir Elton John. Now, where was that taken?
Oh, that was at Craig's Restaurant in Los Angeles. Elton and I go back, of course. We have been friends for a long time. He is responsible for my comeback in 1975. I was off the charts for about 13 years, and I met Elton at a Bee Gees concert. I was very friendly with Morris Gibb, and he bought my records as a kid, and he was a big fan, and he was starting Rocket Records in the mid-70s, and he asked me to join the label, and because of that, I had a remarkable comeback with an album called Sedaka's Back, and Laughter in the Rain was the single. So I owe a lot to Sir Elton. And then we had an album called The Hungry Years, and we had a duet called Bad Blood. He was gracious enough to come into the studio and sing background vocals. I had the most expensive background singer in the world at the time. Yes, it was quite something. My first career, 1958 to 63, and I was more or less a voice on the radio. The second career, 75 to 80, was television. I was on the Carol Burnett and Sonny and Cher and the Osmonds.
And you had some TV specials, too, with Bette Midler and David Brenner. Do you remember that one?
How did you find that? My goodness. You know, I was there during the beginning of rock and roll. My first professional engagement was with Tom Moffat in Hawaii. I think it was 1958. There were no high-rises in Hawaii. Oh, we saw Don Ho, and he always got me up to sing. It was, I guess I've seen it all. Well, my mother and father were not pleased with the rock and roll. They had seen Elvis on television. They said, "You're going to do that?" And I was a concert pianist at Juilliard. And the first check came in, and my mother said, I think you should continue writing these songs."
It's a great career you've had, and that you shared that cool story, too, that early story with the late, great Uncle Tom Moffat.
Oh, yes. Hawaii has always been very special to me. In those days, I went there before jets. And we went from New York, and we stopped in Los Angeles, and oh, it took umpteen hours to get there, but it was worth it.
And I hope you had fun reminiscing with me today, and I really do appreciate your time, brother.
Same here. I hope to see you soon. Hey, everybody, it's Neil Sedaka. I came back. It was a huge thrill to return as a guest for my friend Dave Lawrence, but Dave and I could not do it without our members. And thank you so much, Dave. Good to talk to you always.